All right, welcome to the Take Up Code podcast. This is Waheed Tanner, and I'm actually at CPPCon this week, an awesome conference. And I'm here today with Asad Nawid, a software engineer at Google working on augmented reality. So, welcome.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Waheed.
So, maybe let's start out. Explain to me, what is augmented reality?
So augmented reality is really this concept where, as an abstract concept, you can basically define it as putting a layer over the physical world. And quite commonly, your window into this world tends to be your smartphone. And that's primarily what I work on, smartphone-based AR. There's some companies doing some work around headsets where you can see through things. But I generally like to think augmented reality as something that, okay, you have your physical world, you have your trees, you have your ground, you have your grass, and what if objects that weren't physical entities in the real world, but you could perceive them through your smartphone, through some eyeglasses or something, all of the tech that comes around to make that kind of experience happen, that kind of overlay on top of your real world, is basically augmented reality because it augments your reality.
Okay, give me an example. We're probably all familiar, or maybe a lot of us are familiar, with the Pokemon Go app where you can see the little creatures waving their arms or fins or whatever they happen to have, and it looks like they might be right in front of you on the sidewalk. Let's start from there.
Right. That I think is kind of like, you can call it augmented reality, sure, but the creatures that you see, the Pokemon that you see, aren't really... The illusion of them being physically present there just vanishes as soon as you start moving around, because the objects move with you. That doesn't really happen. If a Pokemon was literally right in front of you and you walked past it, you would have walked past it. Your phone should perceive you as moving forward, and so the Pokemon should kind of like move backwards. But that didn't happen with the initial version. But now there's an AR Plus mode in Pokemon Go where they actually do use more sophisticated AR technologies to actually embed the Pokemon physically in your world, because now your phone has a more robust understanding of what the surrounding environment is, where horizontal planes are, where vertical planes are. And it can, you know, like anchor the Pokemon at a specific place in the physical world and render it on top of your camera feed.
Okay, now, what I've experienced so far always has seemed to be just two-dimensional. Is there any way to put augmented 3D objects in what you're working on? So, like, if you were to walk around, it doesn't just move with you, but maybe you could go around and look at this thing from behind.
Right, and that's exactly what augmented reality inherently is, actually 3D. You can, with all of this... I think with the new AR Plus mode in Pokemon Go, you should be able to go behind it and actually see it from behind, because it's a real 3D object that is rendered in a scene that your phone knows complete 3D information about. You're the scene, in this case, being the real physical world. And that's exactly what most modern augmented reality applications do give you, is kind of like a robust 3D model in your physical world that you can actually move around and examine from all angles.
Okay. Now, I have done a little bit of modeling in tools like Blender or things like that. Mm-hmm. And you can do something similar where you will take a scene and you can place a 3D model in that scene. In order to get it to look right, I mean, to look realistic, one of the things is getting the shadows right, knowing where your lighting is coming from.
All of that is really a lot of computer vision stuff, because the main source of information for augmented reality algorithms and platforms is generally the camera and what the device can see, and also like how it moves from the IMU, the inertial measurement unit on the device. And I think that, so I work with a bunch of incredibly talented people on a product called AR Core, which is Google's set of libraries and SDKs for any mobile developers who want to make augmented reality applications. And the technology exists for actually estimating the lighting conditions in your current scene based on what the camera sees. There are APIs available for you to determine where the shadows will be. And I think that the shadows are actually, again, a function of light estimation, because if you know where the model should be rendered, if you know where the light is coming from, then you can render shadows very, right, very specifically. And I think all of that technology exists today in a form that makes it very easy for developers without any knowledge about all of this to actually just jump in. And that's what I seek to enable, is me and the rest of my very talented team, is that we want to lower the bar. We want to lower the bar, the entry bar, for people who want to make AR applications by providing all of the fancy computer vision algorithms in a set of prepackaged libraries that are easy to use.
Okay, so not lower the bar in the sense of lowering the expectations, but lowering the entry bar of, yes, what it takes to actually come up with something really good.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Just to clarify that, I
right.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a bit about what. Let's talk about that lowering the bar. What types of things do you make it easy? You know, if I wanted to say, hey, I'd like to introduce some augmented reality into my application, how would it be easier for me to use something, a Google library, versus say, I'm just going to try to write it myself? What would you be able to help with?
Okay. Motion tracking to start off with, right? Frame-to-frame motion tracking, a reliable estimation of the device's 6 degree of freedom pose. And for those of you who don't know what 6 degrees of freedom are, they're X, Y, Z of translation and the yaw, pitch, and roll of rotation. Accurately keeping track of that as the device moves is a very, very, very challenging problem. The state of technology that we publish today is a result of years of research and development and optimizations and highly, highly complicated code that goes on under the hood to help developers just use it right out of the hood without having to reinvent the wheel.
Okay, basically. So do you make a developer, because I've done some work with that, where you would have to pick a unique, or it didn't have to be big or anything, but if there's something, maybe in a field of grass, you noticed there was a leaf on the field or something, right? Mm-hmm. And you might be able to say, I want to use that as my anchor point.
Right.
Are you able to pick those things out yourself, or do you rely on the developer?
So right now we rely on the developer to actually, you know, specify, like, I would like to place an anchor here.
Okay.
If you want to use the leaf as the anchor point, either the user needs to tap on the leaf in the screen, and then suddenly that'll be their anchor point, or maybe the developer needs to write some sort of, I don't know, leaf detection code.
Okay.
For better word, so, and then automatically tell AR Core, like, hey, place an anchor here. So that part doesn't exist today, but I think we're close to a future where that's going to be possible.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a bit about the languages then. What, I guess if I was a developer considering putting augmented reality in my application, mm-hmm, are there any languages that you make it easy, harder to do that with?
So we make it very easy for people who are writing applications in Unity, because Unity is a cross-platform framework for developing applications in the vast majority of our developers, because they're making immersive experiences which tend to have a lot to do with 3D art and 3D graphics and animations and stuff, and Unity is a nice way to do that. So our developers can either use Unity, they can use the Java SDK if they prefer not to use Unity and just use Android Studio by itself. And if they're really hardcore, then they can actually use the C API, which is the lowest level of, I think, abstraction to actually do that.
Okay, is there anything that they would get, you know, would I get any extra benefit from going that low level?
Not necessarily.
Is it just like maybe I wanted to use a different language and for that reason I'd have to drop down to the low level?
Partly. It also has something to do with if a large app developer has already written parts of their 3D code in C++ themselves, then yes, using the C API makes a lot of sense for them. But for the vast majority of our developers who are relying on AR Core to do the bulk of the heavy lifting for the camera and 3D processing, then they can simply use the Java wrapper around the algorithms that we publish, and they should be able to use that, and there should be no like loss of features. So there's feature parity between the C API, the Java API, and the Unity API.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about maybe the skill set. What, other than, you know, being able to use the API that you have, maybe what types of skills would you expect somebody to have to be able to get into augmented reality?
So I suppose that the first skill that a lot of 3D AR app developers would need is, I mean, of course, they would need to be comfortable with Android. That augmented reality is not something that you put in your first Android application without a lot of hand-holding. But it is something that Android app developers can put into their apps even later on, or if they want to design a new app, they can. But they also should have some knowledge of how like 3D math works. So linear algebra, what a matrix is, what a transformation is, because they need to do a lot of it themselves to figure out where should I render this flower, where should I render this ice cream cone. And I think all of that, generally, because we're dealing with 6 degrees of freedom transformations and rigid body movements and animations, yes, I think that generally a knowledge of how 3D graphics work, how 3D math works, and how animations work is definitely a skill set requirement.
Okay, cool. All right, well, anything you want to, you know, we're probably about to wrap up here, so anything else you'd like to say, about any upcoming
things? I want to just talk a little bit about CPPCon and how it's been an incredibly awesome experience for me, and I highly encourage all of your listeners, anyone who is remotely interested in C++, to attend. It's not just for advanced C++ developers or advanced C++ people who work in compilers. It's definitely also something that is beginner friendly. And I also want to give a shout out to the #include channel. So anyone who's listening, please check out the Discord server #include C++. It's a really vibrant community, and it'll really open up your eyes for what the C++ community is like.
Well, I just want to say I gave a shout out to CPPCon on the last interview I did. This is completely unprompted. I had nothing to do with us. I just automatically promoting CPPCon, but it's awesome. Excellent. This is a great conference also. I mean, everybody is just so open and willing to talk, and you know, there's so much to learn beyond just attending the presentations.
Right, exactly. Completely with you. And thank you so much for having me.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right.